السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My beloved brothers, just as it is important for all Muslims to be connected with their history, the Quran Sharif reminds us time and time again of the historical events that took place. And here within this country, within the schooling system, there is a whole subject dedicated to history, in which you don't learn all the pretty things, you learn everything about history. And it could be things that you're not proud of. For example, in history here in this country, you learn about World War I, you learn about World War II. And then the reason why they teach it is so that people learn the lessons from them. Whether this country is proud of their history or not, that is a separate discussion. But alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we have a prestigious and rich history, which we are indebted to. Now today I would like to talk about an historical person who was extremely brave and resilient, but not only that, was he very forgiving, compassionate, and merciful. And that is Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi. We don't want to discuss absolutely everything in his life. We just want to cover a few important aspects from his life and what we can learn from his life and how we can transport those qualities into our current day in life. So Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, whenever he was faced with large numbers, he was never scared. Europe, they threw everything that they had at him. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he fulfilled the rights of struggling. He fulfilled the rights of this ummah. And he was ready to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some historians mention it is almost as though that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him back from the people of Badr, meaning he didn't allow him to see life at that time, so that he could be kept behind for his enemies at a different stage and a different time. The testimony of the greatness of this man is that every single person claimed him, even his arch enemies claimed him. And when the news of his bravery and his compassion reached Europe, they couldn't believe that a non-Christian man could be so brave and so compassionate. And ethnically, he was Kurdish. Because these people felt at that time that it was their duty that they had to liberate the lands, because they felt that they were one ummah, one united ummah. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi was born in the fort of Tikrit. And the mother, she mentions that when I was pregnant with him, I seen a dream in which in my stomach I have seen that I have a sword from amongst the swords of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great men, they create other great men. And this was the environment in which he was brought up in. He was brought up in not just a military environment, he was brought up in a religious and spiritual environment. So there was never a day where the expulsion of the crusaders would not be mentioned. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, from a very, very young age, he became a hafiz of the Quran. And he was a Shafi'i in fiqh. And his greatest aspiration in life originally was to become an alim, was to become a scholar. And he loved the scholars. He had the honor of being tutored by a man who was upright and caring and compassionate. And his teacher's name was Nuruddin Zinki rahmatullahi alayhi. So Salahuddin, he would say that he is my master, meaning his teacher, and that he modeled himself on how the character of Nuruddin was. So Nuruddin, his teacher, he realized from a very young age that this young man is very capable and he's seen all the potential in him. This is why when in Damascus, when crime, it became ripe, he made Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, at a very, very young age, he made him in charge of the entire police force in Damascus. And after a while, the crusaders, they attacked Egypt. And when Adi, the caliph, the king of Egypt at that time, he sent his wife's hair, he cut a little bit of his wife's hair off, and he sent it to Salahuddin. And what this meant was that we can no longer protect our women, so you must come and assist us. So Salahuddin, originally, he didn't want to go, because the Egyptians at that time, they were majority Shia. So he didn't want to go and assist them. But the uncle of Salahuddin, Shirku, of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he convinced him that you must go. So he says that when my uncle originally came to me and he says, you must go to Egypt, I didn't want to go. Firstly, because my aspirations were to become a scholar. And secondly, I was afraid that I was going to die. At this time, he didn't realize his potential and bravery. But my beloved brothers, sometimes you think that something is bad for you, but in reality, it is good for you. And for this ummah, it was very good that Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi chose to go and assist. So he changed the landscape of history. And Shirku, he rid Egypt of the crusaders. And shortly after this, Adid, he remained the king. But then Shirku became the second person in charge. After a while, Shirku, he passes away, the uncle of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi. And all of the ulama and the fuqaha, they come together and they make Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi in the place of Shirku. They give him the role of being in charge. So now he became the second most powerful man in Egypt. And he was only 32 years old at this time. So Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he showed what a real leader should be like. The people loved Salahuddin. He won their hearts. He was a true leader and he showed love and compassion to all the people. Salahuddin, he was in Egypt and Nuruddin was in Syria. So after Nuruddin, when he passed away, his teacher, Syria fragmented, meaning it became divided and they began to side with the crusaders. So many of them were giving annual tributes to the crusaders. You know, like when you celebrate somebody and you have a yearly gathering to remember them, they were doing this. And the people of Syria were disgusted because they were used to a man like Nuruddin, a powerful, charismatic man. Then the people of Syria, they turned to Salahuddin. And this was at the time when Salahuddin started on his expeditions. Salahuddin, he spent longer fighting the Muslims than he did fighting non-Muslims. Why? Not to attack them and to kill them, but to struggle against them, to unite them. Because he realized that if a Muslim ummah is divided, then there is no unity, then it is weak. You must unite everybody to become strong. And he fought with the Muslims for 10 years. He struggled with them to unite them. Because he understood that if you're divided, you're weak. And many of them still decided to side with the crusaders. So they released a man from imprisonment who Nuruddin had kept in prison. He was an arch enemy of Islam. He was called Reginald de Chatillon. Reginald of Chatillon or Reginald de Chatillon. And he was in prison for 15 years. He was an arch enemy of Islam. And he was kept in the dungeons. So as soon as he's freed, what does he do? He musters up an army. And then he marches on Makkah. And then he said, when I reach Makkah, I will bring the Kaaba to the ground. And then, once I have finished, I will go to Medina. And I will take Na'udhu billah, the camel herder, referring to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will bring him to my palace in Karak, and then I will charge the Muslims to view his body. And as the narrations mention, that when Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi heard this, he took out his sword, and he lifted it to the skies, and he said, by Allah, I will kill Reginald with my own hands. Because he had a deep love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he dispatched an army under Husam ibn Husam ad-Din Lu'lu' rahmatullahi alayhi, and he, Husam ad-Din, he took a navy and he annihilated the entire army of Reginald, but Reginald survived and he ran away. And then he captured all of Reginald's men and he brought them to Medina, and then he executed them in Medina. And 4 years after this, no word of Reginald de Chatelain. 4 years after this, again, the Muslims and the Christians, they had a truce. And then Reginald attacked the Muslim caravan traveling from Egypt to Syria. And when Salahuddin heard his name again, he again took an oath that when I see this man, I will kill him with my own hands. It was upon this occasion that Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi brought forth an army. And this is when the famous battle, the Battle of Hittin, took place. The Crusaders, they fought an army. They brought forth an army, and when Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi consulted his men, they said, "What shall we do? Do we carry on attacking their forts, or do we fight them head on?" And then they said, "We should attack their forts. We shouldn't fight them head on." And Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, "We will take them head on." And then because he said, "None of us know how long we will live for." And when he said, "Oh my friends," he said to his army, that now they know they're going to fight the Crusaders head on. He said, "Oh my army, oh my friends, fight to please only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not fight to please me." And then they marched on the army of the Crusaders. And the Crusader army was considerably larger than the Muslim army. And the Crusader army was deeply entrenched and they had barricaded themselves. So Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he didn't rush. He showed what a military genius he was. And what he did was he went to a nearby fort where all of the women and the children of the soldiers were, and he laid siege around it. And then he put his back against the sea, and the Christian charges, they were very, very strong. The Muslims had a problem dealing with the Christian charges. So the Christians, they felt that if we do one charge, they will end up in the sea. And this is exactly what Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi wanted them to think. So the next morning they march, and it was midsummer. And with them, they had the true cross. The true cross was the most sacred relic in Christianity, in Christendom. They believed that this was a part of the cross upon which Isa alayhi salam was crucified. So they had a little fragment of the cross. And they believed that as long as they had this, they would never ever lose a battle. So they actually believed that they had won the previous 20 battles that they were involved in because of the barakah of this piece of wood. So on the way, Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he very strategically, he had placed archers on the way. And that when he, on the way, he poisoned all of the wells as well. So that when they began to march, these archers began to shower arrows upon them. So many arrows that their movements became snail-paced. And thousands of them had perished and they died. And then they thought that they would bring, the night would bring them relief, so that they could rest in the right night and regain their energy. But the historians mentioned that Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi's men had encircled them in such a way that not even an ant could go through. So from the Muslim camp, there were the cries of Takbir, Allahu Akbar. And from the Christian camps, there were the sound of the dying and the wounded. And the next morning, Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi noticed that the brushwood was dry and the wind was blowing in the direction of the Crusaders. So it's midsummer, they have no water, and he lit the brushwood. So now they are choking on the smoke as well. It was here that the Muslims attacked, and they were reciting this verse, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, it is a right upon us that we assist and aid the believers. Then Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he wanted to afflict the last psychological blow, and that was to capture the true cross. And then Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he sent an entire group, an entire regiment, to go and capture the true cross. When the regiment captured it, it completely demoralized the Christians. And when they fell by the wayside, only 150 knights were still left around the king. Then the Muslims attacked, and Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi was watching this with his brother. And then his brother says to him, "Alhamdulillah, we have defeated the Christians." And Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi says, "Not yet." And then the Muslims attacked again, and the Christians went back. And then his brother said again, Alhamdulillah, we have defeated the Crusaders. And Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi says, no, not yet, we've not defeated them yet. Look at that tent. When that tent, that is the tent of the king, when that falls, then we have defeated them. And when Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi was mentioning this to his brother, the tent fell. Now this is when the Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi realized that the Muslims have become victorious. Now immediately, what did he do? Did he start jumping up and down and celebrating? Immediately he fell down from his mount. He came down from his mount and then he falls into sajda. Because he realized that victory only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and defeat comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wasn't just a warrior. Ibn Shaddad, rahmatullahi alayhi, the famous historian, he mentions Salahuddin for years, he never missed salah with jama'ah. He didn't live in a palace, he lived in a tent on the battlefield. He wasn't just a warrior, he was a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was such a complete victory, the Battle of Hattin, that when you look at those who were dead, it would be impossible to believe that though anybody could have survived. And when you look at the surviving Christian crusaders, army, who were alive, you would struggle to believe that anyone could have died from them. So Imam Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says something profound, that this was the greatest victory for the Muslims in Sham since Khalid ibn Walid rahmatullahi alayhi defeated the Romans at the Battle of Yarmouk. So Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he didn't ease up there. It is after this that he begins the conquest of Baytul Maqdis. And inshallah, if Allah permits, next week we will talk about this inshallah. But my beloved brothers, what do we want to draw from here? We want to draw the fact that Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, the reason why he was so victorious. You know, at the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, there were other kings of Egypt. There were other kings, but me and you don't remember any of them. History doesn't remember any of them. History remembers when you stand up for what is right, when you stand up for the truth, and you are merciful to the people, but you are also brave enough to stand up for what you believe is right. And you know, people, they mention that he was victorious because of the goodness of his deen. And me and you can only emulate and become like that when we start correcting our deen. When we correct our deen, then we can say that, inshallah, we will become like him. You know, then the historians also mention that people nowadays, they go to his grave and they say, Qum Salahuddin, Qum, stand, we need you to liberate the lands of Baytul Maqdis. And the poets, they mention that when the people come and they say this to Salahuddin, they say that his grave starts complaining about the stench of cowardly people coming from around it. It starts to complain about the stench of the cowardly people around it. My beloved brothers, the one problem that we have is that we live on our legacy. Muslims used to be like this. Muslims were like this. But my beloved brothers, when is it going to be time that me and you start correcting our deen? When me and you start getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Me and you, we all know exactly what is going on around the world, my beloved brothers. People are suffering. If we have noticed this suffering and it has improved our deen, before we didn't want to pray salah, but we have started praying. Before we didn't want to make dua for the people suffering around the world, but we have started raising our hands and praying for those people, then my beloved brothers, we have started the path to correcting our deen. And this is a very positive path. And me and you must not feel that we must free Palestine, but Palestine is freeing me and you from the shackles of sin that we used to be involved in. My beloved brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to learn, take lessons from this historical man, this very brave man, this compassionate man, take lessons from his life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every single one of us the ability to apply these qualities within our own life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
الشفاعة يا رحمتك يا رحمتك.